Anyway, so with our last half hour, we have to turn to another issue regarding child apprehension. We have dealt several times on the show and had in the studio in person, Zabeth and Paul Bain, about the loss of their family.
Three children, fourth baby
as well. Joining us now live on the phone is Zabeth Bain. Zabeth, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Zabeth.
Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for patience. We were supposed to get to you earlier, but everything was running a little slow, and then I had to have my therapy moment there. So
that's quite all right.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. So you've got news for us.
I have to tell you, Zabeth, I get calls all the time. People like to call the show and say, Carrie, what's happening with this case and what's happening with this case? So people want to be updated. This is like our own private saga that's happening in this country with all these different cases.
Dickensian novel unfolding chapter by chapter.
So I thought, okay, with knowing we were going to have Derek in a brand new case of conduct that should not be happening, a case that just should not be in existence, I thought this was a perfect time to get an update on what's happening with the Bain family.
Yeah, I appreciate that opportunity. Yeah, there has been a lot happening in the last little bit that we can update everyone with, for sure. Well, first of all, we did complete the parental capacity assessment now.
Okay.
It was a long process and very invasive process, of course, and we have some of the results, some of which we don't have yet, but we do know that the final outcome was there was a recommendation from him to have our children returned. So that was a great relief to
all
hear that.
All four of them?
All four of them, yes.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Now, who did that parental assessment capacity?
That was Dr. Conrad Bowden.
Okay. And so that's finished now, and that's in the hands of the director.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Now, we haven't seen that report. Were you able to look at that report in detail?
No, that report has not been released to us right now. I mean, I should say the whole process, though, we did find Dr. Bowden very good to work with, even though it was invasive. We found him to be an excellent psychologist.
Hey, well, you're used to being invaded.
That's become part of our daily life.
Exactly. Yeah. You've lost your children, including a newborn that was just taken away, no questions asked, almost. So the doctor who did the assessment, did you get the sense that he was on your side or she was on your side?
No, we didn't get that sense, but we did find that it was invasive. He was very thorough.
Mm-hmm.
From the final meeting that we had with him and some of the recommendations, some of the things he noted about our children and after interviewing them and their teachers and such, we found him very thorough. But we did not know, we didn't get the feeling that he was leaning one way or the other, but we did get the final result of he was recommending a return.
Zabeth, why did it take so long to get an assessment done?
Do you mean the process of having this final assessment done?
Right.
Or before that, when we weren't going for the assessment.
Well, like, why has it taken this long to have some sensibility brought? Somebody who could sit back in an objective way and look and say, look, this is what this case is about, and this is what needs to be done.
Yeah, previously we had this process recommended to us. The ministry had requested it. The legal counsel we had at the time advised against doing that. They felt that the individuals put forward by the ministry to have the assessment done were very biased towards the ministry, and they had bad experiences with them. And then after that, we had a risk assessment done that basically did not, it was incomplete. It didn't assess any of our good qualities, and we did not feel that this type of assessment would be used towards any, unbiasedness whatsoever. So we had declined due to the counsel we had to this point.
Well, and that's why I wanted to ask that question, because it's been my experience for all these years that there are some, regrettably not in abundancy, good people, but majority of the professionals, the so-called professionals that the ministry relies on, are in their pocket. They're there to design an assessment to accommodate the outcome that the ministry wants, as opposed to what truth might reflect.
That's what we have been hearing different parents contact us as well, and we've been hearing those same stories.
So how did you find this Dr. Bowden then?
Once Judge Crabtree had rendered his decision, the ministry proposed the parental capacity again, but they referred a doctor to us that Doug Christie had previously worked with, and our current lawyer as well, Robert Hamilton, also felt that he would be a good choice. So both counsel felt it was okay to go ahead with this Dr. Bowden.
Okay. So what's happening next then? This report, when did the ministry get this report?
We finished it, I think, around 3 weeks ago, approximately.
Okay.
And the ministry, Dr. Bowden, gave us a verbal summary, a very basic one, and asked our permission to verbally tell the ministry his findings because it may help things progress a little quicker. But I believe last week he actually submitted the written report to the ministry, and our lawyer is trying to get that forwarded to him.
You can't get your own assessment?
It's not being forwarded to us.
You know, like, I'm sorry, Sabetha, but, you know, nothing surprises me anymore. But when it continually gets confirmed to me how out of whack this system is, even to be able to get a report that's all about you but is being distributed through the ministry offices just seems so wrong. But so your lawyers are hopeful that they will get a copy of this report?
Yeah, they're hopeful to get a copy.
Okay. So when is your next court date?
We were looking towards a July 7th case conference.
Okay.
And that would only be for an hour, but we've just found out today that it's not available, and I do not have a next court date anymore. I know that they're going to try to work out something as soon as possible. But we do have a mediation scheduled for July the 28th. That mediation, we were told, was going to occur after the case conference and just be used to work out some of the finer details of an agreement.
Hmm. All right. So now, is anybody talking about returning the children to you?
Well, we've had some indication that it is going that direction. For instance, we have been told now that we could register our children in the school of our choice, and we have done so today, actually. And we're to be written down as the primary contact people, and we also had to write that the address where the children would be living, and that was our own address. So signs like that, I'm feeling positive that we're working towards a return during the summer at some point, at least for school. But I've yet to hear, we're going in for a meeting with the ministry. They have to get their case planning approved by the community manager, and at that point we're going to hear what their recommendations are, which I believe are based on the parental capacity assessment, and then they're going to make a proposal to us. So nothing is set in stone, whereas we've still yet to go through a meeting and hear what the recommendations are.
I have to ask you, just when you were able to register your children in a school, something that every parent takes for granted, what was that feeling like?
Oh, we were just exhilarated. We were in that position for, this is our third year, that we've walked into that school, we filled out registration forms. The previous 2 years, I forwarded them to the ministry, requested, please, you know, I know they're not in our care, but please, we want them at the school for various reasons. But today was the first time that we really felt, well, this is going ahead. The social worker had actually called the principal and confirmed, yes, the children can be registered at a school of our choice. So that was exhilarating.
For people who didn't catch our earlier shows, hearing about all these the travails of yours over the last several years, they might have concluded that, there must have been some terrible instances, terrible incidents, some horrible family dysfunction, some gross case of neglect or abuse or something like that that must have happened, and maybe you guys have been repentant and sorry and taken all sorts of parenting classes, and that's where the injustice is. No, the injustice is right back to the very beginning, because all of those horrific things that I laid out didn't happen. Can you tell our new listeners how all of this actually started?
Well, it all started in September of 07, And one of our sons had run around the corner and fallen on our baby, who was resting on the floor. And there was a head injury from that, and she had a subdural hematoma and retinal bleeding from that. But we spent 3 weeks seeking medical care for her, always to be sent home. But during that time, her head swelled.
But wait a minute, Zabeth. You were sent home and told there was nothing wrong with her.
That's right. Well, we were told it was reflux, and perhaps she was constipated because she was vomiting constantly.
Yeah, but nothing to do with the head injury.
Oh, no. No, we weren't. We told them about the accident, and that was discounted.
So, at some stage, though, Human Resources, Ministry of Families Ministry gets involved, though, and they say, no, shaken baby syndrome.
That's right. The doctor at Children's Hospital stated it's shaken baby syndrome.
And then that's opened the floodgates. So that's that led to the apprehension of your three children, and then when you just recently had a fourth child, instantly apprehended, all because of that one household accident. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening out there, this is what can happen. It's been a tragedy of mistaken assumptions and downright malfeasance, it seems. And it's gone on for years and years. Have you been able to see your children recently? Do you still have you had contact with them over the spring?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We see our baby four times a week. Most of the visits are for 2 hours with him. And we see the rest of them as a family two times a week. One is a two-hour visit, and the other is a seven-hour visit.
Good. How are those going?
The time we have together is wonderful, but I should say there is more progress in regards to the visits. We're working with what's called Project Parent now, who's going to assist in transition. And starting next week, they are upping the visitation time. It'll be over and above what we already have. And I guess eventually what they do with Project Parent is they start overnight visits with the family, and they check in the morning and tell the kids they're basically always at the parent's home, and then the transition becomes complete.
Okay. Well, so there's good progress on that front as well. This looks like it's on the road to a happy resolution.
Well, yeah, but thanks to, number one, for the Bain's willingness to stand up and say, wait a minute, this is wrong, and go public, because I know since we've started doing this show with the Bain's, suddenly we've seen some movement in the right direction. So, and I want to ask you about that, Zabeth. Was there any change in conduct of your case? Was there any new social workers that were brought on? Did this case get another set of eyes put onto it?
After the judge's ruling, we did have the case transferred to the Surrey office. We have a new director and a new social worker, and we do notice a change in the social workers. The practice seems quite different from what we had in Hope. And we do appreciate the new social worker is always informing us of any meetings with the schools and events he's allowed us to attend. He updates us when our children are sick. The other social worker didn't do that. We find that he's working with us, and he responds to calls immediately. So there is quite a change between the workers.
You know, and this is one of the issues. Sorry, Terry, but you know,
I was just going to ask Len, our producer, to play a segment of the Hallelujah Chorus here.
that could be appropriate.
Got that queued up here.
But, you know, this is what I remember the first show we did with you guys, and you know, the one request that you were continuously making is, please put a different set of eyes to this. Just have somebody have a look at the facts and what's going on in this case. And that didn't seem like such a huge request to be making under the circumstances, Zabeth. So you do sense that there's a totally different approach to how your family is being treated and dealt with and looked at now with the new office being involved.
Well, I think the new office had told us, I can't remember quite the wording, but after the judge's ruling, basically that there was no doubt about it, that the judge was wanting to see the children back home again, and the Surrey office is working towards that. They do have process, I love that word now, process they have to follow, and I think the new set of eyes was Dr. Bowden when he did the assessment with us, because he had to assess both sides, supposedly unbiasedly, as well as the previous social workers, and he ran through the court's ruling. So it was quite extensive. That may have been a new set of eyes and perspective in which direction this case needs to go and the time frame allotted for that. So
what you're saying is in this assessment, he also looked at the relationship with the ministry, did he?
Yes, it was, well, that was one of the questions. He needed to assess the relationship and what's changed in our relationship with the ministry. Are we able to work with them?
Okay, so that was part, and of course you had this new relationship now with the Surrey office that allowed you to answer those questions in a much more positive way than what you had experienced. I mean, some of the antics of the social workers from Hope and what you had dealt with, I mean, truthfulness and forthcoming weren't really a big part of what was happening in that relationship, was it?
No, I don't think that they had good practice at all in our case, and one of the things we would have hoped for is that their investigation would have been evidence-based, and they would have practiced following, you know, the ethics and guidelines at least, and we didn't find that they practiced good social work there. But we do notice a difference with our current social worker, and we do feel that we can work with our new social worker towards a positive ending here now.
So do the kids have any inclination that this is happening, that your family may be reunited here sooner than later?
Well, we haven't talked to them about, you know, the latest court ruling, about even the transfer to the school. I've talked to the social worker about that, and I think what we're planning on doing is some meetings here next week, and we're going to address just, you know, letting the kids know and how we're all going to do that and support the children through this transition, because it is going to be a big change for them.
Mm. Yeah, to live with their parents.
Oh, wow.
What a novel.
I know, it's not right, but
yeah,
they've been away for so long, even though they're in our home for all the visits, and the bond is incredible. Like, the psychologist did feel that our bond was incredible. So, you know, it's not going to be as traumatic for them, but it is a change.
I'm curious, Beth, in your discussions with Dr. Bowden or any other of the professionals, have there been any discussions about some of the fears that the children are going to come home with? I mean, this has got to be a huge, I mean, we use the word transition, but the whole ability to come home and have confidence that you're not going to be taken away, have there been any warnings or any professional advice of some of the problems you may encounter? And
yeah, well, not from the ministry directly. What we have done is Paul and I were offered from Focus on the Family. They have given us counseling, and they are also going to include our children as with family counseling when our children are returned. And we know that there's going to be different emotional things they have to deal with, and we will have a professional counselor helping us through that.
Well, they've been told some factual inaccuracies as well, have they not, by your old social worker case handlers, as I recall, were they not told some things that were untrue about you and what had happened to them?
I'm not sure how much our children have been told. There were different things that they've had to deal with, like this is the last Christmas year, obviously, your parents.
There's some things that were
told in the past. And I do know that there's different things that they still remember, such as Baden on his birthday. He remembers he didn't get a birthday that one year properly. Kent also remembers when the type of vehicle that took him away from the grandparents' house. He pointed it out to me one time.
Oh,
so
boy.
Emotionally, we're seeing different things that they are going to need help to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. So I think you're in a good position to deal with that now. It certainly sounds like you've got this well in hand and are dealing with it one step at a time, one positive step at a time. The sun is rising. It won't be high noon in a second. It will be the sun will be in its zenith maybe by the end of the summer, and there'll be fully light shining, raining down on your family, we hope. But it's not going to take place in a split second or just in a day or two here, and I think your approach now augurs well for success. It's going to be a tough road, but no tougher, not possibly tougher than the road you traveled in the last three or four years. So.
No, this road at least will have much joy in it.
Yes,
well.
Exactly.
Elizabeth, I want to get you on the public record because I intend to bring this up with the new minister that I really, after watching her interview on the last night on other issues involving her ministry, I think she's in way over her head on this. But if the minister was to ask for participation from families that have been subjected to this kind of abuse through the Ministry of Destruction, would you and Paul be willing to participate in that and talk about things like evidence-based decision-making and practice standards and what was lacking in your case?
Oh, yeah, we'd be willing to participate in that.
Good.
Yeah.
I figured you just might.
Not, well, of course.
Well, you know, we talked earlier on the show about the need to reform the Human Rights Commission structures in Canada, or at least even get rid of them. And to replace them with evidence-based things, with real rules of justice, real rules of evidence, real representation, real rights for the accused.
A real level playing field.
And level playing fields.
Yeah.
And this is what our official justice system, once you get into a court, it works pretty well.
I don't agree with you in these matters, Terry.
Well, yeah, okay.
I think the judges are so fearful of making the wrong decision that they hide under the skirts, you know, of the social workers in these cases.
Okay.
Too many of these cases.
You've rebutted my discussion.
Yeah. Okay. No discussion
on
that point.
I'll go back
into
my corner there. But certainly...
You can argue with me. You can
No, I think you're right on that one. We have basically shown that in the past, that the family court justices sort of side with the official apparatus.
The professionals,
The professionals that it's better to be safe there for them. They'd rather be safe. So that's good. Anyway, well, listen, please do keep us informed, Zebeth, as the summer goes along. And you know what? We really want to hear when that day comes, when you're all back together.
Oh,
as one big, happy and feuding and squabbling family, you know, whatever is going to come, you know. It's not going to be all roses and perfume, rose gardens. No family ever is, but that's, you know, it's a family.
Mm. It's
and
a family.
It's real life, and it's not dealing with this multi-edged juggernaut that's the Ministry of Destruction. So, yeah.
And you know, Zabeth, I just really, this was really good news. I mean, I'm just so excited you got to enroll the children into school and that the social worker called and confirmed that. And that is just... Like, this Christmas come early, you know?
Exactly. It was amazing. And, you know, we all of our friends are down at the – it's a church school, and it was just amazing to see the joy on their faces, too, and the support that's down there for our children, too, when they come there. So it was just amazing.
You already have a built-in family already. I mean, the support that has shown to us from all the efforts of the good people involved with your case – this is going to be a happy day when this comes to a reality.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of joy.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Thanks
so good
for joining
to hear from
us.
You.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Do appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Godspeed.
It shouldn't take years, Terry.
Oh, I know. Boy, but you know, the patience they've shown. I mean, the tone is so different than the tone we had with our with Mr. Hoare when he was here earlier. You could see the frustration and you see the it's almost a glazed look in his eyes. But you know what? He kept us cool. The sense now that we're getting out of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel here is so much nicer. Good note to end on.
Well, you know what, though, Terry? I just, my heart goes out for Derek Hoare for maybe more than this reason. As a father of a special needs children, it's one thing if all your children are normal, healthy, developed, but the work that he has put in to his children, you can't even begin to comprehend.
Well, you know, the outsider might say... He should be relieved. He doesn't have to look at this, and he doesn't have to deal with this. Hey, mothers, aren't the social workers giving him a break now? You know, like, well, he doesn't want that break. You know, he's working his butt off. He's giving his life to his children.
Yeah.
And no greater love.
Well, and he's demonstrating responsibility, but for the vulnerability of his daughter, she can't speak and communicate like a normal 9-year-old. He'll never know what has gone on with his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, that's a scary, scary proposition for a parent. And I just, you know, I am going to send the minister the audio file for this show. And I want everybody who hears the show to do the same thing. Please email the minister. Probably tomorrow morning we'll put up her email address and her phone number and her whatever else she's got there for contact. And, you know, I think people need to really rally around the us's of this world, the families, and say, you know, we're not going to put up with this anymore.
Good. On that note, I guess we're going to have a slow summer now, eh? We're going to just take it easy and not.
No, Terry O'Neill.
You've got some stuff lined up for next week.
Yeah, next week. Well, I'm not going
to be here, but
it's going to be a good show. Mark Hasek's going to be back
instead. Yes.
Yeah, and Philip Slayton, who's written an amazing expose on the Supreme Court of Canada called Mighty Judgment, is going to be in. And actually, excerpts out of that book were just published in the National Post not too long ago.
And, you know, it's very timely because there are two openings coming up on the Supreme Court of Canada. And so more focus will be on that court and about the composition of the court and about how we appoint judges to it. And if you don't think there needs to be a focus, then you'll listen to Mr. Slayton and you'll find out why there has to be focus.
This has got to be a top priority for this government.
That's right.
And then our good friend Link Byfield.
Yes.
You didn't know, did you?
I didn't know. And here's the second time. You know what? My nose is a little out of joint. But Joseph Benami didn't call us to talk about the Canadian Observer. It is a little out of joint. But we're way out here in the West Coast. They forget about us. We're not that far from Alberta. How come I didn't know about what Link Byfield is up to?
Well, you are going to have to ask Link that.
Yeah, so what is he up to?
He's up to all kinds of things. Well, he's in thick with the Wild Rose Alliance. That's just making headway galore.
I just dropped the name Alliance. You're back to the old Wild Rose Party, period.
Wild Rose Party.
Right. So I know he's that, but he's got something to do with an anniversary, does he?
Yeah, there's this gala thing happening.
Okay,
reform gala.
Yes.
Do reformers actually have fun and do things like galas?
No, they don't.
No, of course not.
It's impossible. No, no,
yeah,
they were all
conservatives
too serious.
Are boring.
They
yeah.
are. They are.
Totally boring. Don't know how to party at all, people.
So it is the 25th anniversary coming up of the formation of the Reform Party of Canada, and Link is attempting to mark that with a celebration.
Yeah, there's a rumor about
that. We'll get some
that.
Details about that.
Yeah, I'm
next
sure
week.
You'll get those That's details. Right. Extract them from
You know
them.
What I have to bring to the show next week?
What do you have
is
to bring?
The book that I put together about the early history of the Reform Party.
There you go.
I edited a book, a compilation of articles, essays, and editorials and graphics about the early history of the party for real political nerds. So I'll bring that and show it to everybody and remind Link about his role in it as well.
Well, he's always a good sport and so much fun to talk to, and I'm sure you'll have a rip-roaring good time.
That will be good. I'm going to give him a hard time about many issues.
don't tell him that.
Speaking of
out.
A hard time, as we give each other a hard time here.
Never.
Next week you're not going to be here, but then for at least the 3 weeks after that I won't be here.
You're abandoning me.
For summer duties. Got some social engagements I have to be to, and then vacation.
Summer duties. I've never heard a holiday put like that. I have a duty to holiday.
I have a duty. That's right. So it won't be till August till we see each other again.
Yeah, I know.
And,
so
are you going to keep the show going?
Absolutely. Well,
good.
I've psychologically prepared myself to be without my therapy sessions.
That's right. It's transition team.
I have your cell phone number.
Transition team from the ministry is coming in to ease you over the road.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't call them.
We have to say goodbye.
We do.
That's been it for Roadkill Radio. Thanks for listening, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Roadkill Radio. Join us again next week for another trip down the superhighway of information, fact, and truth.